Let's go to Matthew 5. The one thing that will keep us from peace and keep us from the mercy seat, probably the most important thing, and the one thing that will quickly take us off the mercy seat, therefore away from peace, is unforgiveness. Christianity is unique in that forgiveness is a command. As far as I know, Judaism in the Old Testament had no provision for forgiveness except, you know, among themselves. If you read the Old Testament, you know, if somebody wronged them, they were to wipe out every man, woman, and child in that particular tribe. But Christ came, and in Matthew 5, he said probably the most astounding thing to them, even more astounding than his claim to be Son of God, was in Matthew 5, verse 43. He said, "You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the just and the unjust, and sendeth rain, on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." Now what happened? What happened between the Old Testament and the New Testament? Was there a bad God in the Old Testament? Now we got a new good God in the New Testament. That's sort of the view of many. But the answer is no. He had selected a family, the family of Abraham, as the seat or the home of his revelation and his hope that the innocents could be transformed into holiness, that by this one family giving them the perfect law, that his mystery could be accomplished in them. And as we've said so often, that was the last chance. So when they sent his son, and they killed him, it wasn't they killed him, we killed him, then it's the last chance for the human race. Except that one instance where he breathed the Holy Spirit on his disciples after his resurrection, and they went a-fishing. And so from the standpoint of God, then everything is the same. It's the same as it always was. It's the same idea of the goal of God has always been the same, and that's a family. But now the mystery has been expanded. The mystery has been totally and completely shut off from the human race, but it's been expanded to the seed. And this thing about, I want you to imagine a culture that had never heard of forgiving your enemies in the past. It didn't happen. And all of a sudden, Christ comes and said, "You have heard that it's been said in the law, Thou shalt love your enemies. The problem is that we don't do it any better than the Jews did. We still hate our enemies. And then what does that mean? How can this be reconciled?
So it was in the law to love your enemies.
Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor was in the law. You want to see that law? Let's go look at it a minute. Oh. Let's go to Deuteronomy. I can't read. Deuteronomy 23. My eyesight is getting worse because of this stupid thing on my nose.
23 what?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. In verse 5, this is typical of many places. Nevertheless, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam, but the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee, because the Lord thy God loved thee. Thou shalt not seek their peace nor their prosperity all the days for and forever. In other words, There's a whole range of things you don't have to go through it. You all know that all of the cases in the Old Testament where they had to wipe out every living being in a particular tribe, it happened over and over and over again. Why? Anybody remember why?
To protect the seed.
Protect the seed of Abraham. That was the only thing that God was dealing with at that time, is the seed of Abraham. And then, as I said, when that failed, now he's, the only thing God is dealing with is the seed of Christ within you. And the test of whether or not that seed of Christ is your life is whether or not you've forgiven from the heart everyone their trespasses. Not just everyone. Every situation, every person, every instance, every place, every circumstance. You understand the totality of that?
Yeah.
Forgiving from the heart. And it's not an option. In the first century church, the idea of dealing, or I'm trying to forgive, or I'm waiting to forgive, or I'm dealing with it, or it was impossible, because forgiveness, it was so critical that if you couldn't forgive from the heart everything, every person, every situation, that issue, then God couldn't forgive you. And it's not negotiable. And so the forgiveness was a command. Now, the thing that most people don't forgive is the circumstances of their life. And if you can't forgive some circumstance of your life, some failure that you... And it's, I'm not even talking about forgiving yourself. I'm talking about forgiving things that happened. Do you understand what I mean by that? Gary?
Something you said there... It's like when the test is of the seed.
It's only Christ that's being tested. Are you continuing with him in his test?
Right, and the issue is, if you hear this and say, okay, I've got to forgive, and then you try and forgive people, you've missed the point. The point is, you abandon, and the seed, who is already capable of doing it, there's forgiveness.
No, Gary, that's the same thing, that you're going to continue in sin that grace may abound.
How can I, if there's abandonment, how am I continuing in sin?
Because you haven't forgiven. The whole issue is not, well, I'm going to just let it go and then God will deal with it when his time is right. This is the same thing we always deal with.
So the issue is, I have to forgive.
You have to forgive.
But where's Christ?
He will be revealed when you forgive.
But I'm baptized. I'm dead. I mean, that to me is the issue. You know, the work is already completed. What do I have to do?
Nothing.
But you have to recognize that if you haven't forgiven, that means you have resurrected yourself.
Okay, perfect. Now abandon yourself and the Christ that is in you.
Yeah, but
proven by the fact that forgiveness takes place, and there's the mystery of you in him, and it taking place. Otherwise, it's me being able, in my own somehow strength, to do the things that my flesh can't do. Resurrected or dead.
Do you know what? When we studied, you remember we studied this forever. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transfigured by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So that for you to live is only Christ. And the evidence that is not Christ is because you haven't forgiven. And you have to deal with the issue rather than the philosophy. The issue is, something has transpired. Something in your past has transpired that you haven't seen through. You haven't seen that it was necessary, exactly as it happened, to get you to this point where you could understand and you could see. So there's got to be a point where there's no more separation between for me to live as Christ and, well, I'm waiting for Christ to do something. There's got to be a point where faith is an action and it's instantaneous. The thing that you're talking about is a childish thing. Well, I'm going to wait and then I'll just abandon myself. What, you don't even know what that means. So you just abandon yourself and then I'm going to wait until... You have to see that at this instant, right now, if there is something that you haven't forgiven from the heart, God cannot forgive you. There is no philosophy about it, no whether or not it's me that's living or it's Christ that's living or what I'm going to do about this. It's a command. This command should put the fear of God into you in a way that you can't even begin to negotiate with. I.e., if I haven't forgiven from the heart everything and everyone, and that means again, forgiving from the heart means that I must protect in my heart the right of that thing to have happened to me or that wrong to have been done to me just as it is, because I couldn't have been where I am today if that hadn't happened. But you've got to come to a point where there's no more negotiating or separation between you and the mystery. And if you say, well, I'm just going to abandon and then someday Christ is going to work through me to forgive, it won't happen.
Well, we've talked often about we cannot fulfill his commandments. We can't perform the law. And the law is there to teach us that. So that, what do? We find ourselves helpless in ourselves. We have one option, that's to abandon and wait on him. And he performs.
But I think the deal is, if you are abandoned, then the forgiveness is there. The non-forgiveness is an indication that, you know, you haven't...
It's not there.
Yeah, it's not there. You haven't abandoned.
It's an indication that your faith is carnal.
It is faith. Remind you.
Jesus in you, believing in himself. This is really, it's this whole thing, Gary. I mean, we've done this over several issues. And Mr. Kevin pointed it out one time. He said, shall we continue in sin that faith may abound? God forbid. We're dealing with a specific point here, a point in our understanding that takes us away from peace and takes us off the mercy seat. If there is something in me right now, if something transpired, if somebody did something or whatever, that I couldn't instantly forgive, I would feel like I was down in the bottomless pit. I can't live in that place. That's what I'm trying. There's got to be a time where this instancy is that a word?
Well, it may not happen instantly, but the deal is to contend with that.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking of, since you were talking about being instant. You know, there was that time when you couldn't forgive Bloom.
Right, and that's a, and I was a
huge struggle,
childish thing.
And then, then
how was that resolved?
What?
I forgave him.
What allowed it to take place after some 6 months or whatever?
It was 4 years.
All right, four years. Why did it happen?
It happened because I finally repented. But my disobedience can never be justified.
I'm not justifying it. It was a disobedience. But something took place in you, repentance, abandonment, call it what you want, and then the seed, Christ, forgave as holy.
But Christ created that whole scenario. Or God did. God created that whole scenario for that specific lesson.
And it was only the long suffering that, when I was in that state of rebellion,
right.
And that long suffering can never be. You can't rationalize away because I'm counting as the blood of the covenant as an unholy thing. I'm saying the sacrifice of His Son wasn't enough for me in that area.
Yeah.
And I can't. I didn't realize that during all those 4 years because I was blissfully ignorant. But I can't do that now. I can't do that now. It happened that way, but it can never be justified. And that's all I'm saying. It's not, reconciliation isn't my business. Reconciliation is God's business. My business is forgiving from the heart, instantly. Now, which comes first? Well, I don't know. All I know is that the fear of God must permeate that, so the idea of being in a state of unforgiveness, it can't happen. But if I say, well, I'm just going to continue, I can't justify what I did in not forgiving was wrong. But the way you ask the question, and the way you say it, again, you're giving place to time. I'm sorry to bring it up again.
Well, there are certain issues and instances where time is involved.
Only where there's disobedience. Only there's where there's rebellion.
Yeah.
And it can never be justified.
Well, forget justifying it. I'm not justifying it. I'm saying it happens. It happened in you. It happens in people. And when that's the case, then look at it for what it is, not for what you want it to be.
No, I can't do that. I'm never going to look at what the world is in terms of what it is. I'm going to look at the world and what it is from the eyes of God. And that period of time, and when I'm not in a forgiving, when I was in an unforgiven state, was pure, outright sin and rebellion.
Okay, that's true. I don't deny that.
Now you're in a place where you have the eyes of God and you can see through that.
Well, that just means you can confess the Lord Jesus. You can see that you say the same thing because you see the same thing.
Yeah, we've always talked, and that's where we've talked about the only thing we can do is take time out of the equation and repent faster and not let that seed of hatred get a grip on us and spread and grow like leaven. Because that's what happens when you get leaven. We don't repent fast.
But again, Gary, all I'm saying to you is in your language, in your words, when you ask these kind of questions, it seems like you're justifying rebellion because you're saying, well, everybody does it, or that's the way it happens. It can't be justified. That's all I'm trying to get across. I don't care what happened. I care that rebellion can never be justified. Sin can never be justified. And I want each of us to be have a sensitivity so strong that we cannot stand this if there was the slightest unforgiveness in us. Because we can be deceived so easily. We can think there's peace when there is no peace, when there's a third world war going on some cave down in your temple that you haven't even looked at yet. And so you're not conscious of it. And it may be just because I haven't said the words, I forgive you. It's not dependent on anything but Him. But it's dependent on us from the standpoint of this, the Lord's Prayer. We are forgiven as we forgive. The coda to the Lord's Prayer is, well, let's go look at it. Go back to Matthew 6. Wait, no need to read the Lord's Prayer. Verse 14, the next verse. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
That sucks. Pretty.
Well, this is why, again, there's no negotiating here.
Yeah.
That's what freaks me out.
No in between.
And then he expands it, where he says, forgive from the heart. And that means not just the words, but it means that you, in your deepest recesses of your being, you protect and appreciate the right for that person to have wronged you, or that situation to have wronged you or harmed you.
Why? Why do we do that?
Because it's... Because you couldn't see what you see. You couldn't know the mystery of God. You couldn't be in Him unless everything had happened exactly as it did, including all those things you don't like.
It's just all more revelation of trusting in Him all the time.
I want, and I'm not picking, this sounds, because I'm going to use a particular word here, it sounds like I'm picking on somebody. Okay? You, each of us, must lose the slightest ability and the slightest tendency to cope. So that your senses are so discerned, so that you sense and know when you have walk towards rebellion. You revenge that disobedience instantly.
How do you revenge it?
You, yeah. Go to.
Just tell me.
No, I want you to go there because otherwise you'll think I made it up. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10.
Because if you don't cope, I'm going to pick on somebody. If you don't cope, then it ends up becoming a World War IX every other day.
Well, again, because what this coping does, coping gives you this idea that there's peace, when there is no peace.
Well, it is. It's a bomb shelter.
But that's to be destroyed.
2 Corinthians what?
Chapter 10.
Second.
Just say it already.
10:6.
Hmm?
10:6.
Well, I want to start. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal.
Where? Mm.
Okay. Verse 3 or 4?
Okay. 4.
The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every single thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge your disobedience once your obedience is fulfilled. And casting down every imagination, every thought.
That's coping.
No, it's not coping. Casting down is... not coping is letting them all float around and putting them in a storage shelter for a while. And
that's coping. That's casting down is putting them in a bomb shelter.
No, casting down is destroying them. There is no thought. Remember, for some unknown reason, God requires that our minds be renewed. And the word renew is this great word. It's anakinesis. It means a conforming to that which was, is, and will be. So and the only conforming is we're conforming to the mind of Christ. Total emptiness. Without any hidden valleys and nooks and crannies. And the way we know it is we cast down the imaginations and every high place, every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Again, the way you cast it down, there is no thought that you can have that can stand against it is finished.
Does this sort of remind you of the way that I guess casting down is sort of what the prophets did to idols, right, in the Old Testament? And
amen.
These imaginations, in a way, are sort of, you know, it is sort of idolatry.
It's the same thing.
You know, minds wouldn't. So casting down would be in a similar way, what, you know, Elijah did to
that's what Abraham did. He went around and, you know.
And that's some destruction.
But now they're all inside you. So that there's instant obedience. So there's no separation. Boom. No illusion, no thinking it out, no waiting for it to gel, no trying to be. Be. Well, now if I say that, then this is going to happen. And to quote another person in the room, I'll be get in trouble. And then,
I'm just tired of arguing and fighting over the same goddamn thing.
Well, then.
And nothing fucking changes.
What are we fighting about?
What are you fighting over?
I don't want to get that person mad at me.
You're fighting over Pete.
It never changes. And I'm not going to, if it's been that way for however long he's been.
Well, the point of it is, maybe the thing that's going on is that it's in you that's.
I know it is.
Well, then cast that down.
My casting down would be to take a hike because I would never even hang around a person like that because that's insanity.
Well, again, as I told you so often, this place is my worst nightmare if I paid the slightest bit of attention to my mind.
I just wish you'd say it when it happened.
Oh, there we go. Insanity.
I don't know, have any idea what you're talking about.
It's just who you are, Pete. It's just who you are. Okay. And you've been that way for 30 some odd years, supposedly. So
but again.
Everybody else has, quote unquote, revenged the disobedience over it, and here I am, my fucking...
Stop the cursing for a minute. Listen, the reason you're here and the reason Pete's here is so that his activities can come against your value systems.
Know.
So you will either kill him or you will cast down the imaginations in the high places.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, then that's what's got to happen, instead of coping. You forget, you weren't here. This place was the Third World War, every Bible study.
Well, maybe I came at the wrong time.
No, just you can cause the war to start. But be whatever it is, instantly. Not, this is what he's doing back there, and then I can't even remember what he did that made me mad. You understand, that is the reason a body of believers exists, so that you work, these things are all worked out, not to change.
I do understand that, but if you look at the history of this joint, nothing's happened, so it doesn't matter.
What do you mean nothing's happened?
Nothing
That's
happened.
A total insult.
Not to you. Nothing happened with Pete. Nothing.
What do you mean what happened to Pete? What the hell are you doing? What are you doing judging your brother? You think you're right and he's wrong? My God in heaven, have you heard nothing? The problem is, you think you're right. And you murder everybody around you every time you do. If it wasn't Pete, it'd be somebody else. It'd be your fall guy. Be whoever you were near. This has to be dealt with, and it has nothing to do with Pete. But it must be dealt with, or else you're living a lie. Now you have a choice. I've offended you, so now you can run away, or you can have the courage to face these things. My question is, where would you run to?
Nowhere.
Well, isn't it time that we dealt with this stuff then? It has nothing to do with Pete.
I know it doesn't.
Well, you don't.
Yeah, I do. As much as I say it, I know it has nothing to do with Pete. And we've had this conversation before.
Well, it's had a lot of good it's done, isn't it? You're still sitting there judging Pete. That's a mockery of the doctrine.
So is the issue inability to repent? Disobedience?
No, the issue is the same as always. You sit back and judge in your mind. Just like everybody else does. You just happen to have taken up the mantle of Harry here. The sitting back and judgment in your mind puts you out of the mystery of God, because now you're a judge. But you're really judging the law. And you're sitting in condemnation of whoever it is your target at that time. But you just happen to be the one that is exploding and saying it. There are others that do it routinely with impunity because they think no one sees them do it.
We all do it.
It has to be, you must, if it's there, you must say it. And it's say it not 5 seconds later, not 5 minutes later, not 5 days later. You say it at that point. and not tell somebody else that you're saying. You say it to the, everything stops for that, and it has to. There's no other purpose in being here. Everybody understand a little bit? What do you think, you're here to learn something? You're here to be for this very purpose. This is what church is. And some will say, well, I don't like it. That's fine. What?
That's why I don't talk and say stuff like that.
So now you're going to sit in judgment of me then?
No. You know, I always tell you how I feel about you.
Well, that's, no, you just do it so it's humorous at the time. You had to have a response to everything I just said to you.
My gut instinct was to run. Then in the nanosecond, it was like, you have nowhere to go. So then I just sat back down and...
So did you hear anything?
I didn't. I don't know what to say. I really don't. Other than it's obviously all true and it's...
Well, how about... It seems to me that one thing would be in order... And that's you owe Pete a deep apology for all this judgment you've been doing against him. But you're unable to do that because you still think you're right. And this is what you need to think about.
I already know it.
But you're not living it. I don't care what you know. I care what you live. I wish someone had done this to me those 4 years when I had when I couldn't forgive Bloom. Because if the end came, the garment would be spotted by my flesh. Anybody else have any response? Mr. Boljo?
Chain reactions where if I do this, that happens, and if that happens, then God will do this, and so forth. It's not on a rheostat where we turn blackness to white by turning a dial. It just is, totally is right now, in the moment, like we always say.
This is what Bible study is. I'm not sitting there learning something about pyramids or stars or something.
This is what it takes to wake everybody else up, because in another sense, it's not even about chaos. It's like what Joyce Sanders said, we all do it, but our volume is turned down so we don't even see ourselves doing it. We don't recognize our guilt. And when this happens, I think it exposes it to me, and hopefully everyone else.
Amen.
And that's what makes this very valuable.
And this morning meeting, I mean, what? Since I don't really, not a head of a Seder group per se, the whole idea of this is that the Levites then are supposed to teach or be the revelators of it in each of the Bible study groups, so that. There is no place to hide.
It's ironic that Caleb, who likes to get in these situations and then leave them, run, has been given no place to go. So it's like God's mercy is all about us, all around. So that you're pressed into the moment. People have a...
And this is what people don't like. You know, this is terrible. But this is the only reality. Otherwise, a bunch of actors playing roles going around. Hi, how are you? How'd the Rangers do? Isn't this a nice movie? Anybody? Kevin?
I just remember several years ago a Bible study, and I began to judge Pete, and I instantly had this image of washing his feet, and it killed me at that moment to think that I was condemning someone, and then all of a sudden that person became Jesus.
Amen. I'm glad you cleared that up.
Well, I was really scared.
Kayla, I know that much of what you do and the way you respond to people is a protective device. And I would beg of you that you don't need to do that anymore. You're accepted here as you are. Nobody's going to kick you out. You're not going to get in trouble unless you count this as trouble. Can you hear that?
That's the biggest reason why I work with Pete. Because even when everything's said and done, we had a moment yesterday where he came out and he was getting ready for his interview, and he brought his ties out, and he said, "Which ties should I wear?" And I helped him pick one out. And I thought, you know what? Even after everything that I feel, which is so dumb anyway, he's still my brother.
Amen.
I'm the ugly time. Just kidding.
You can pick the ugliest.
Benny, any response to any all this?
Oh, it's just,
huh?
I don't know anything that's going on, but I just called up G.K. Chesterton to quote something to the effect that it's sort of funny how God always... So he commands love your neighbors, and then he also commands love your enemies. And usually they're the same person.
That is the
that
truth.
That is all too true.
So, sort of funny. So
they are the same person.
Yeah.
Amen. Take it, big guy. See, these rollover events didn't, I mean, those.
Oh, yeah, you do. Yeah. Cheryl's going to be pissed when I'm late.